We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Gordon Roberts on a Friday. Craig off. Joe B. sitting in. We'll get your calls 877-337-6666. Big weekend of baseball. The Mets are going to induct Howie Rose, Gary Cohen, Howard Johnson, and Al Leiter into the Mets Hall of Fame on Saturday.
By the way, can I say this?
Yeah.
While you're bringing that up.
Yeah.
It's time now. I am championing this, okay?
What are you championing?
It is time, okay? We got to get off the moral high ground that, you know, that the Mets are living on.
Right.
And it's time to put Doc and Darryl up on top of the roof.
Oh, retired numbers.
It's time now. Okay.
I figure it's going to happen.
Is it? I mean, it's time now.
Yeah, because
you cannot talk about the history of our franchise without those guys. I mean, these guys were key figures on a championship team and probably the best 7-8 year run we've had with the Mets.
I think once
it's time
they opened it up. 3 years
before
ago,
Doc is not here anymore.
No, I get you. And you know, Craig and I were talking about this yesterday. That and, well, you'll really appreciate this about you want to honor people when they're around.
Of course.
You don't want to honor them when it's too late. And a guy I brought up as an example of someone who it's too late for, but should be honored, and you have championed this forever, is George Steinbrenner being in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Of course. That's a no-brainer. How he's not in is ridiculous.
Now, it's obviously too late. He's not around,
right, but
you know, took Gil Hodges a million years.
Right.
He did finally get in. I assumed once Kuzman's number was retired and Keith's number was retired that obviously things are open.
Those are the next two guys. To me, you got to put them up there before you put David Wright up there. I'm sorry. You have to.
I think David Wright's going to want to wait longer because he doesn't even want to come back for Old-Timers Day.
I know.
I think he may want
to wait. Those are the guys, bro. Yeah. And I want to see Doc go up there while Doc's still here. You know, because Doc still has his issues.
No, I understand.
I think Darryl now is straightened out now. Yeah. Darryl is on the right path. You know, I guess his life was saved by the woman he married now and everything. He's got his own missions, whatever he's doing, okay?
Right.
So he's all right. But Doc, I don't know about Doc, man. And I want to see it while he's still alive to see it happen. Because those guys, man, they are such a major part of what the Mets have been. You know, the history of this franchise. You have to put those guys
up there.
What's
crazy is the way they've treated those numbers. I mean, 16 has been handed out constantly.
Yeah.
Like, so many guys and so many guys that are random that aren't even that good.
Yeah.
Like, Travis Jankowski was wearing it last
year.
You know what I mean?
It's ridiculous. It's like Julius Randle wearing Bernard King's number.
Right.
I mean, I know Julius Randle's a nice player, but he's not Bernard King.
And look,
come on.
They did the same thing, though, with 17, and they still retired it. Like, Brent Maine wore 17 younger.
I know. You know,
Dae-Sung Koo was wearing 17. They gave it to everybody.
Yeah, well.
And then finally they said, okay,
time.
Now we're going to retire.
Right.
Yes. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Richie.
Hey, boys. You know, I like just to call you once in a while.
How you doing, Rich? Haven't talked to you. How's your golf game? Playing?
Joe, I had some surgery. I had some cancer on my
I'm sorry
my
to hear
head.
Oh,
I had
man.
No, I got it all. It's good.
Good. God bless.
And I've been healing.
Good to
hear.
I had
a little plastic surgery. I'm handsomer than ever. Joe, and I'm still 5 years older than you, so.
Is that right? And I'm sure a lot better looking and a far better golfer, so.
Well, the golf days are a little tough. Hey, Ev, if you can give me an extra minute, okay? I want to go.
Sure.
I talk quick. A couple of things real quick. I am so tired of hearing McElroy.
Oh, God.
Keep waiting for McElroy to make a charge, and he hasn't charged in 8 years since in 2015, whenever he wants.
Yep.
I agree
yep.
with you with Sheff. I think Scheffler is going through a little putting issue at this point.
Scheffler's tremendous. I put ahead of Scheffler now. And the next guy is Koepka. The next guy's got to be Koepka, doesn't he?
Well, if he's healthy again, Joe, yeah, because he's, you know, but he hasn't, you know, the last, year, he kind of faded out.
He looked pretty good at
the
PGA, and he should have won the Masters.
Oh, he looks tremendous. And, you know, and the other thing, too, real quick, the Interleague, totally agree that it's kind of, you know, when you're not playing teams like in your division, and you got to wait 2 months, you know, Evan. And with Epler, I kind of am very happy about that deal. I know you're not. The J.D. Davis deal. Davis has been unbelievable.
You're a Giants
fan,
of course.
Too, right?
You're happy
Conforto's
about that.
Hit too, right? Davis,
yeah, you know,
Conforto.
Conforto's been good, And also the other guys that have been really good is coming up is our kids. Evan, I know you're into it, Joe. You might be. Casey Schmidt and Bailey. It looks like Joey Bart's going to be on the outs. I think his time has come. But the wild card, you know, you talk about Ohtani. There's eight teams in both leagues that are going to be fighting for that third spot. And Alvarez is totally off the table. And let me get to your team real quick. I've been very critical. Ev, you almost sounded like Tierney a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Brandon made a comment, I tried to call him, that the season is over for New York baseball. I almost fell off the chair.
Did he really say that?
Oh, he absolutely said it, and he got grief for it. Ev, you were getting a little down, and you thought your team was horrendous. And I know sometimes you're like me, you know, you get caught up in it at the moment. But baseball is a lot. I thought that they were going to have issues, Joe. I spoke to you about 3 weeks ago. I didn't like their pitching, and I didn't like their bullpen. Nagasic's going to be gone.
There have been times of concern during this season, but I've always looked at it.
They were in big trouble. I got to tell you, I did too, bro.
Well, I think there were issues with the team, but the thing I've always reminded the audience, and I've said a lot, is that we live in a new world in baseball. Just make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's all
that
matters.
And right now, when you look at the National League, that number of wins you may need to make the playoffs may not be that high.
Yeah, no.
May only take 85, 86 wins. So calling out concerns on a team, which I've done, we've all done, is far different than thinking it ain't going to happen and it's over. Because I think we learned the lesson of last year, which is you got to get there. And if you get there and your team's healthy and playing good baseball at the right time, maybe you can go on a run like the Phillies did, like to a degree the Padres did, getting
absolutely.
All the way to the NLCS.
Absolutely.
So, like, I'm excited about playing the Braves next week, but I also look at it far different than I did a year ago, which is I'd like to beat them, I'd like to win the division, but they just have to make the postseason and be healthy at the right time.
It's all about making it and being healthy, you're right.
100%. That's the most important thing.
And especially Scherzer and Verlander being healthy at that point.
No doubt. And look, last year we thought everybody was, because going into the Atlanta series, ooh, they got everybody lined up. DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, and everybody failed.
Yep.
So it's just playing the best baseball at the right time. And last year, they weren't. Let's go to Ryan in Tarrytown. What's up, Ryan?
Ryan, how are you?
Hey, guys. Love you guys. I wanted to talk NBA Finals, but with baseball, I think we should get Ohtani because, we're not exactly gliding into the playoffs with Verlander and Scherzer. And you always argue about the win-now mentality, and I think your argument that you just said about the Phillies is back up to a win-now philosophy, you know?
Win-now at what cost, though? You got to keep that in mind. What cost?
Right, but, we're not building a dynasty like 4 years from now with Verlander and Scherzer either,
but
right?
But you know what, though? With this owner now, we're always going to be in win-now mode.
We're going to get the primo guy at the right time, you're saying. Okay, I see that. What about the NBA Finals? You guys did mention that Tatum was on one leg. I think it beat up the Celtics a little bit, but Tatum was on one leg since the first play of the game.
Let me tell you something about players being hurt and being on one leg. I want to make this very clear to you.
Go ahead.
I don't give a rat's ass, okay? Hey,
I like hearing
My
that.
Team got knocked out
Thank
3
you.
Years ago because Giannis Antetokounmpo stepped on Kyrie's ankle, okay? You don't hear me crying about it, except right now, and James Harden blew up his hamstring, all right? I don't care if guys are hurt. It happens too freaking bad. It screwed my team. Ooh, the Celtics. The Miami Heat were playing without Tyler Hero, one of their best players.
And Oladipo, too.
Of course. It happens. Yes, we all acknowledge that on 30 seconds in, Jason Tatum turned his ankle. No doubt. Did the injury affect his play? No doubt. Wow. That's all I've got to say.
Let me say
about
this,
that.
Too. Don't get yourself in a 3-0 hole. How about that?
Right.
Don't put yourself in a position where now it's life and death, where something like that happens and you're destroyed. Because
of course. Look,
let's not forget. I mean, this team was down 3-0. They lost their first two games at home.
I also think, not just in the NBA, but littered throughout sports history, are great teams overcoming injuries.
Sure.
They happen, they're a thing. You know, locally, Edwin Diaz had that catastrophic injury in the WBC. I wasn't giving up on the season.
David Robinson's been tremendous. Now, who knows how it's going to be the rest of the way, but David Robinson has been phenomenal.
He's been incredible, and that was my point at the time, which is, hey, with relievers, you never know.
You don't know.
So injuries are a part of sports. The Boston Celtics, you're right, lost the first three games of that series. They couldn't win games on their home floor. And Jason Tatum, unfortunately, turned his ankle at the worst possible time.
Yep.
Just like, unfortunately, Giannis Antetokounmpo fell on Kyrie Irving's ankle. It happens. What am I going to tell
you? That's it. You don't throw him back because of it.
It's part of the game.
Yep.
How about the fact the Miami Heat, And I am not claiming any conspiracy. I watched the game. I didn't think there was anything, you know, crazy. I think it just happens. The Miami Heat got to the free throw line twice last night.
That's ridiculous.
And Jokic got there, you know, 14 times, whatever the number was.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Denver looks like they're going to win. The one thing that worried me, we talked about it because they didn't win game one on the road. But I tell you, the Miami Heat, boy, to me, they're the best organization in the league.
They're incredibly...
With Riley and Spoelstra.
They're incredibly well-run, and they're great at developing talent.
They really
when
are.
You look at guys like Gabe Vincent and Cody Martin, Caleb Martin.
How about this guy,
Cody.
Struess?
Max Struess, who, by the way, is a free agent at the
is
end
he?
Of the year. Perfect fit for your team.
Yeah, there you go.
Max Struess fits right in.
Not get crazy here.
Maybe not last night when he couldn't make a shot, but you know what?
He could not make a shot last night.
It's terrible.
And what they got out of Lowry, what they've gotten out of Love during the playoffs. I mean, we could go on and on with these guys.
We hate the word culture. Because it's used, and sometimes it's like an easy word to say we got to turn around the culture. The Miami Heat obviously have something going on down in Miami that works really well for them.
And it's amazing. I mean, this is a team that lost the first play-in game to Atlanta. How about that?
This is one of the most, and I put this above the Knicks because I think the Knicks were better than this.
Oh, when it was with the lockout. Remember 1-2 about 99. It was
the
only
lockout.
A 50-game season.
I agree. That's why I take the Knicks A seed, Ron, and I say that with respect. I mean, the Knicks were good, legitimately.
They were a good team. Right.
Now, Miami has, in the past, been legitimately good, but during the regular season, they weren't. They were not a good team.
No.
Like, I want to put this in perspective to everybody listening. The New York Knicks, okay, but they're good. The Brooklyn Nets won more games than the Miami Heat during the regular season.
Yeah.
They beat them. Yeah. They were better. And yet, all of a sudden, really in the last 5 minutes of the second play-in game, something happened. And it really is one of the more remarkable
it is unbelievable.
Finals runs we've seen.
Yeah, no question about it. And I wouldn't count them out yet. I'm not counting them out yet.
It
doesn't look good for them, but I'm not counting them out.
Yeah, look, they should
have. They got too much mental toughness on that.
No, and you're right. And they have a great head coach, maybe one of the great coaches of all time.
He's up there.
Jimmy Butler's proven to us he's a real underrated superstar in this league. A lot of role players have stepped up. So they've earned
Bam
that.
Bam Adebayo's a very good player, too.
Very good. By the way, he's also pretty dirty.
He is dirty.
He's a dirty.
he is that.
Sorry.
he is.
I got to say it.
He
now.
Is.
I want to call out players and I think they're dirty.
Well,
you know, Grayson Allen, dirty player.
Hey, look, you know, there was a lot of dirty plays back in the old days. And I got to tell you, I loved every second of them. Bill Lane being clotheslining Larry Bird, it doesn't get any better than that.
I feel obligated.
Bill Lane being knocking down Michael Jordan going to the basket.
Yeah, you love that.
Okay.
I do feel obligated to tell you that today is an anniversary of sorts.
Oh, I know what today is.
You know
and is this why you could hold on a minute? Is this why you brought me here?
No. I would
now
never.
I know.
To celebrate
30
this?
Years ago today.
He's got it.
Okay? 30 freaking years ago today. I thought my team, was on their way to an NBA championship. I got to tell you.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right? By the way, nothing happens at 3 o'clock anymore?
Oh, no. We go on TV at 4 o'clock. Oh,
okay. I don't know.
Anyway, just let you know.
So 30 years ago today, I thought my team was on their way to the NBA championship. Okay?
Right.
They won 60 games. Only the second time in the history of the franchise besides the 70 championship team, they won 60 games. They'd won like 37 consecutive games in Madison Square Garden. All right? And this is a night I will never forget. Okay? Never, ever, ever in my life will I forget this night. They win the first two games of the Eastern Conference final. They win it. At home, the John Starks dunk in game 2. Game 3 is on Memorial Day weekend. Jordan goes for 54. They lose. They lose game 4 in Chicago. Now they come back. The series is tied 2-2. Game 5. And I still maintain this, bro. I'm telling you.
Yes.
I was flipping out that. I wasn't married yet. It was between wives. I was going out with Terry, but I wasn't married to her yet. I get out. I was with one of my buddies who's passed away since then, my good buddy Jimmy DiClemente. He's passed away a number of years ago. Big Knick fan. He's over the house with me. I got all my old Knick Sports Illustrated covers all over the place. Like, they're all over. Like, I'm trying to get the karma going here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay? And that, I mean, to me, the Charles Smith Memorial is still the worst loss in the history of the franchise. You could talk about Game 7 in Houston. You could talk about that. You want to talk about Game 7 in Houston? The bench incident against Miami, all the different things. Game 1 against Indiana in 95 and all of that. Okay, whatever. There was nothing as bad as that game. That was the worst, bro.
I understand it. Now, no, I did not call you to fill in for Craig because it's the 30-year anniversary.
30 years ago. That's right. 30 years ago today. And then game six, and I don't forget, they lose game five.
You must have thought they had no shot in game six.
Oh, no
at
shot.
That point.
Well, I told you the story. So that was a game. I guess game five was Wednesday. Game six was a Friday. So I remember people saying, oh, they're going to win game six and win game seven. I'm like, you're out of your mind. Right. They got no chance to win game six. And I'm watching game six. It's a Friday night, right? I think I had at least two martinis. I said, I am getting wasted because I can't, I to live with this disaster of a year now, I can't take it. And of course, they basically got killed in game six. They were really never in the game.
Yeah. I can see why
30 years ago today.
I can see why that ranks.
And he got fouled at least twice.
Well, I don't know.
At least.
I've watched it a few times to try to analyze it. It's tough. I don't know. They look like clean blocks to me.
You think that? You think that were, well, hold on. You think that, if Jordan's going up for that dunk, you think those are clean blocks?
No, but that doesn't make it the right call.
Oh, my God.
Just because they call it doesn't make it the right call. You know, I'm reading a book that I cannot recommend enough about the Knicks. It's called Blood in the Garden.
All right? Really? Who wrote this?
Chris Herring. Who did
okay.
remarkable... Do I know him? He's a reporter. I don't know if you've read him or not, but I'll tell you this, bro. And I say this as someone that's not a Knicks fan, but I love the history of certainly New York
no,
sports.
You don't.
It is an incredible book.
How far does it go? All the way back?
It's the 90s Knicks. So it's
okay.
Really...
Okay, Bloody... Well, Riley, that's an apropos name, Blood in the Garden.
How Riley just hated Charles Smith because he thought he was soft. Because...
Right.
He didn't think he was tough, and he would ride him.
Why did they trade for him then?
It
Riley
was
traded for him. Why? Because to me, I look at that trade, okay? That trade, we got rid of Mark Jackson in that trade.
Right.
Okay? And because of that, they let Xavier McDaniel walk.
So the Xavier McDaniel thing was an F-up, is according
oh,
to this book.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
But at the time, an F-up. Not like, hey, looking back on it, it was stupid that they thought cap purpose-wise, they needed to wait on him. And they told him that.
Right.
This is the Knicks.
This is what they're saying. Okay.
You got to wait.
Right.
And he was sick of waiting. And he didn't know or didn't believe necessarily that they were going to take care of him.
That was a huge mistake.
So when the Celtics came down with that offer, and to a degree, I can't blame him. Because it's so
I understand where he's coming
from. Think about when he signed too. Wasn't it September?
Right.
So.
That was a major mistake.
Their plan was to keep him.
Yep.
And obviously they didn't.
That was a disaster. That's what I'm saying. So Riley's got nobody to blame but himself because he was part. He wanted that trade.
Yeah.
And Charles Smith. And let me say this about Charles Smith, because Charles Smith was one of the nicest guys, and maybe this was a problem. Mm. One of the nicest guys I ever met. When I was doing the overnight, okay, and I used to go to games all the time. You know, he was in San Antonio at this point, and they're playing. You know, your team. I went to a lot of games.
Right, right.
You know, and I'm in a locker room after the game, and I go up to Charles Smith, and I say, "Look, Charles," I told him. I'm doing an overnight show. I'm going to be on later on. I'd love to have you on. Would you come on?
Right.
Would you talk about, you know, your Nick years? And he did. He came on. He was great.
Yeah, no.
I don't forget stuff like that. But,
He sounded like a classy dude, nice
right.
guy. That
Very
not,
intelligent guy. I think he's a lawyer.
Yeah.
I think he is.
He didn't fit in the locker room. Like, that's the other thing. Like,
right.
He just did not fit in with the guys.
No, I understand what you mean.
And Riley couldn't, like, push them because he didn't think he was tough enough.
Right.
Essentially what it came down to. And it sucks that his entire NBA career is known for that one moment.
Yeah.
But it is. It's the
of
truth.
Of course.
And I
He's
get why.
He's got a game named after him.
Right. He does. He has a whole game. And a series defined by it.
A series defined by it. Yeah. Wow. 30 years ago
30
today.
30 years ago today.
That's unbelievable. That was one of the toughest losses ever that I could endure in my lifetime for any team.
I remember when we did the Beningo Bracket of Pain, and I took all your painful moments. That one. That's the number one moment.
That was a lot of pain.
I thought we were winning
that year. I thought we were going to get Jordan finally, and it was their year to win. The home court advantage and all of that. Was that tough to take, man.
And Jordan was off in those first two games. Did not play well.
Well, you know what happened in that series.
He was in Atlantic City
gambling.
Well,
that's what
right?
turned the series around.
Right.
Because they made a big deal. He went to Atlantic City gambling.
Right.
And they made a big deal about it. It came out in all the papers. And that ticked Jordan off. And we know what happened after that.
The rest is history. When you look back at that dynasty, the double dynasty that he had, the 6-8
right.
that he had in
right.
Chicago, that's some of the biggest adversity he faced, period. Being down 2-0 to
yeah.
the Knicks
yeah.
after losing those first two games, not playing well, the stories coming out about him
yep.
gambling.
Yep.
Like, you look at his championships. There were adversity, but that's probably the most adversity he faced.
Could be.
Because he didn't face a lot
well,
of
Well, I mean, think about it. Once they finally got through the Pistons, okay?
Right.
Because the Pistons beat him a couple times
right,
in the playoffs.
Right,
they finally
right.
got through the Pistons. He only played two game sevens after
That's
that.
That's a remarkable
92
thing.
92 against the Knicks and then in Indiana, the second round and in Indiana in the conference finals.
None of the finals went to a seventh
that
game.
That was it. Yeah.
And just two game sevens.
Yeah.
So just remember this. Yeah. When guys break game seven records, remember, Michael didn't get a lot of opportunities to play him.
Right. He didn't.
Which is a testament
to
his
greatness.
The
only game seven he lost was to the Pistons.
Yes.
The Pistons beat him pretty bad. I think they beat him in five or six the first time.
Right.
Then they beat him in seven the next year. And then the Pistons, and the Bulls swept them. And that was the whole thing with Isaiah walking off.
Right.
They all walked off the court.
But by that point, like once they got past that, they were off and running and they were a dynasty. So you look back at 89 and 88 and 90, those early years where they lost. Yeah, they lost. Jordan got beat. But once they won the first one, he was unbeatable.
He was unbeatable.
When you really think
about it. Well, he did lose that series when he came back from retirement. Yeah. They lost to Orlando. If you want to really count that.
And that was the series where, if I'm
Nick
not mistaken.
Nick Anderson stealing a ball from him there at the end when he wore number 45.
Well, in the middle of the series, he changed it. He was wearing 45.
Oh, did he go to 23 in the series? So in the middle of the series? He did
that?
I don't remember that.
He was wearing 45. And I think it was Nick Anderson who said it, who said, "That's 45, Jordan. That ain't 23.
Right.
And Michael was like, oh, really? And he changed his number in the middle of the series to 23. And
they still lost that series. But then the next year, they destroyed Orlando.
They did.
Swept them in four.
Losing to Orlando after he changes the number is kind of left out of the story.
Right.
Because we think of Jordan as just never losing.
Right.
Well, and it would have been badass if they won. They didn't. But he changed the number in the middle of the series as a message.
I don't remember that.
23 is back.
I would have liked to seen the Bulls play the Elijah Wands, though.
Ah, that would have been amazing.
I would have liked to seen that. That would have been interesting.
I'll tell you another
they
one.
They would have won anyway. Don't worry.
Probably.
Chicago would have won.
Probably would have, but I would have liked to have seen it,
We
though.
Can continue talking about Jordan and the Bulls the rest of the day. This is wonderful
I have,
radio.
Let me tell you, my feeling for Michael Jordan has changed dramatically on many levels. Now, I don't want to get into it. But dramatically. We'll leave it at that.
I get the Jordans versus the Olajuwons, and I think we've all thought that. You know what? The other one I thought, too, was Jordan's against Tim Duncan, David Robinson in 99.
Yeah.
Like, if he stays for one more year,
and
the last dance is 1999, short season two,
right.
Which would have benefited them as a veteran team, that would have been incredible, especially knowing what we know now about Duncan, who became this all-time great player, to have the birth of their potential dynasty against the end of the Bulls dynasty. Those are the two what-ifs in the NBA that would have been tremendous to see.
Yeah.
And then if they stick on another year, you take on Kobe.
Well, that would have been real interesting. I don't know. I don't know. They might have not been able to beat that team. Because Jordan was getting up there now. You know, they probably would not have beaten Shaq and Kobe.
And now you're losing. Now the dynasty ends by losing, not by just saying, hey, we're done.
Right.
Let's go to Gus in Freehold. What's up, Gus?
Gus, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, Gus.
Good.
So you guys are on the Mount Rushmore of WFM teams, for sure. You guys are great to listen to.
Thank you.
I got a Mets point, maybe a Jet point if I get a chance. But the Mets point is, so I think Showalter's the biggest issue with the Mets. I mean, with the young guys, it's Alvarez basically wasn't playing in the first couple weeks. He was batting him a couple times a game, and then he would take him out. He would pinch hit for him. He's doing the same thing with Vientos. I mean, you can't waste at bats when you get to the playoffs, when you're facing good teams like the Braves, like the Padres. You can't waste at bats with Vogelbacks. I don't care how many home runs Canna hits. Those guys are weak hitters when it comes to big spots against good pitching. And for him to not to at least see what Vientos is, and for the Mets not to bring up Mauricio, I think that down the line, they might win a couple games here and then, but down the line, when you get against big teams and big series, I don't think it's going to work. And I think that's something that Showalter doesn't seem to, you know, to get. And I think it hurts him. I think that's why he's never won a championship. He doesn't adjust.
I don't know about that, because I do think he adjusts, because I think he's a different manager than he was a decade ago. I think his handling of bullpens is far different than it was when he wouldn't go to Zach Britton in a winner-take-all game. The way he handles bullpens now, I personally love. Like, he'll use sometimes David Robertson in the eighth inning.
Well, he's used a bunch of different guys
order.
To closer. I mean, yesterday, Drew Smith came in to close again.
Right. Yes, there was more circumstance because those guys weren't available.
Right.
But he uses relievers far different than he did a decade ago, and I think that just proves the point that he's not unwilling to change. As far as the way he handles
a lot of
guys
don't like Showalter. I mean, every day, my buddy Joey and Clark, every day texts me about how he wants Showalter fired.
Well,
every day.
I think that's going too far.
Very much so.
But I think the anger that people have, which I understand because I have it too, is his insistence of sticking veterans who aren't playing well in the lineup.
Vientos should be the DH.
He should be.
Every day.
So it comes down to, well, why isn't he? Like, what's the reason? Now, Alvarez has made it obvious he plays every day.
Right.
And he mostly plays Beatty every day. Yeah,
pretty much.
He does. And occasionally there's a good matchup for Escobar. Yeah. And Escobar's been better, so he's deserved some at-bats.
By the way, do you know Beatty and Garrett Wilson grew up together?
Yeah, they played
football
together.
I didn't even
know
that until the other day.
Yes, well, because, they did it at the game where he threw out the first pitch.
Yep. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're friends from Texas.
Yes, Texas.
That's kind of cool, though, because you've got two, not just young players, but two potential stars in the same city.
On our teams.
With a fan base that's similar, right? Right.
Well,
that's
kind of cool. Yes. Pretty much.
Yes.
It's pretty much the same fan base, I would agree.
Garrett Wilson, the reason I knew about it is because for a while now, Garrett Wilson tweets a lot about the Mets. And I've always wondered, did he just become a Met fan? And he's a big Brett Bay, obviously, because of his friendship
that's
with
his guy. Right.
But the Buck insistence of Vogelback has fascinated all of us.
He
doesn't mean he should be fired necessarily.
No, but he's terrible.
I know. I get it. It's frustrating.
God, if he doesn't walk, I mean, what does he do?
Pops up or grounds out the shortstop.
Right, or strikes out looking.
The strikeout looking. That's his specialty, man.
Yes.
But I don't know the exact reason. I've surmised that he just doesn't like Vientos. Oh, I've got the lineup right now.
Is Vientos playing tonight?
This is interesting.
Yeah, let me hear it. Nimmo.
He's got Nimmo leading off. Great. Right. Lindor batting second.
Right.
McNeil batting third at second.
Right.
Alonso cleaning up.
Right.
Brett Beatty at third. Starling Marte in right. Then you got the designated hitter. The designated hitter is Mark Vientos.
Wow. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it's a right-hand pitcher going. How's that possible?
It's a righty. And then Mark Canna, Francisco Alvarez.
All right.
I don't hate Alvarez batting ninth. A lot of people do. I don't.
He batted
doesn't bother
second
me.
A couple games.
That's fine.
As long as he's in the lineup, I don't care where he hits. Losing in the lineup, that's it.
The real question you got to ask yourself, and I'm not joking because you're going to think I'm being sarcastic, I'm being dead serious. I don't know the answer, but do you think they play a highlight video for Chris Bassitt tonight?
No.
You sure about that?
You think there's going to be a highlight video? The guy was here a year and he crapped out in the end.
Taiwan Walker got a highlight
video.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Well, he was here more than a year, though.
Seth Lugo got a highlight video.
Well, he was here more than a year.
Absolutely. But
Seth Lugo? Come on, you can't give these guys.
Dominic Smith got a highlight video.
What was the highlight? They get the home run on the last day of the year that put everybody and everybody got the over and won? Right? Was it the over under like 86.5 and the home run won it for
him? I think you're right.
Unbelievable.
So I'm just saying, based on the criteria the Mets have set for videos,
I guess.
I think he's getting one. He was good last year till the end.
No, he was good.
He was good till the end.
He was.
Until Atlanta and San Diego, he was fantastic.
Yeah, but that could be said for a couple people.
No, trust me. It could be said for everybody except for one guy, Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, he pitched good against the Padres. He didn't pitch bad in the Atlanta game, but he gave up the home runs that beat him.
Yeah, he wasn't great in the Atlanta game. Right. He just didn't to bet.
Right.
He was average, unfortunately.
Right.
We'll get back to your calls, 877-337-6666. We'll mix in some football as well. And we found old tapes of Joe and Saddle
River.
This is
a long time ago. This is like over 30 years ago now, isn't
it? I'll tell you exactly when it was. When you hear the
young then, man.
When you hear the players you're talking about.
I wasn't good looking, but I was young.
Are you sure? I think you were good looking, right?
I was sure.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
No, were you a good-looking guy 30 years ago?
Probably not.
No.
No. Style and charm. That's it. Style and charm.
What I find funny about these clips, man, you sound different. A little different. Yeah. I think we all do.
I'm younger. I was younger.
Howie Rose
sounds
exactly the same.
I used to call Howie all the time.
Oh, I know. I got some good calls in there for you. We'll play that coming up.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Hot, steamy Friday in New York City. Carton and Roberts. Craig is also returned Monday. Joe B. sitting in. As we take it till 6:30 tonight, Yankees are out on the West Coast against the L.A. Dodgers. And thank God they're actually going to wear their real uniforms. The last time they played the Dodgers, it pissed me off to no end. The Yankees were wearing all black, and the Dodgers were wearing all white. And it was all white. Like, you couldn't even see the writing of the Dodgers. It was a while ago. You remember it, because I remember you angry on Monday.
I'm sure I was.
You were like, this is ridiculous. Sure. What are we doing?
By the way, I got to compliment my basketball team. Every game at home in the playoffs, the white jerseys with the orange.
They were doing it.
Thank you. And maybe that's why the Celtics lost Game 7. Maybe if you would have wore white at home, okay, right? Maybe if the Celtics would have wore their traditional white jerseys at home instead of wearing the road green at home, maybe you would have won.
Maybe
the ghosts of Bill Russell and Sam Jones and Hondo and everybody would have came down on high, and maybe you would have won the game.
Or instead you've angered him because you broke tradition by wearing those dopey jerseys.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Not crazy. Let's go to Don in Linden, New Jersey. What's going on, Don?
Don, how are you?
How you doing there? Hey, Joe, point about Canada, and I, despite the two home runs against a somewhat flawed Philly pitching staff, I don't trust them in a big spot. Last year, the last game against the Braves, the Mets had lost the 3-1 lead, first and third, one out, poised for the beginning that gives us a divisional title. The son of a gun pops out with nobody out.
Yeah, but Canada to me is he's a role player. You know, he's not an everyday player to begin with. You know what I mean? So I can't get crazy about Cannon.
You know what, though? He plays like an everyday player.
Yeah, he does play him a lot. He does play him a lot.
And by the way, Joe, you're my age, 68. I've been with the Mets since April the 12th, 1962, when Craig threw the first pitch.
Yep.
But I just clarified this because I didn't hear it. I heard it third party, but you didn't really say Max was done about a month ago, did you?
I did. Like, no, I did, actually. I have to admit I did. So. And maybe that's the best thing I could do because I put the reverse, on him. The reverse Mallorca, however it is. Mallorca, how do you say that word? Mallorca.
The Mallorca.
Right.
I don't think it's that crazy to wonder when a 39-year-old pitcher is struggling the way he's struggling to wonder if he's done or not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's a crazy knee-jerk opinion.
I mean, he's got to stay healthy, too. I mean, you know, he's pitched great the last few times out, but he's got to stay healthy.
Right. And a part of what was contributing to his struggles is not staying healthy, but that's connected to getting old. I mean, Max Scherzer's 38. He's about to turn 39 years old. He's thrown a million innings in his career, a ton of innings. And his track record now over the last, let's say, 3 years has been he'll miss starts. He'll be banged up and he'll miss starts. We remember what happened with the Dodgers. He had the tired arm. He couldn't even pitch in the NLCS. We remember what happened last year. He bombed out and then talked about how he wasn't healthy. So I don't think it's insane to wonder when a guy who's 38, 39, or 40 is struggling for an extended period of time, hey, I wonder if this is it. Like, isn't that natural? Because at some point when you're old, you're going to break down and it's going to be it.
Hey, believe me. I'm breaking down. A little older than Scherzer, but
a little bit. Let's go to Tony in Staten Island. Tony.
Tony, how are you?
Yes, I wanted about Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Angels would want to deal with the Mets because at Moreno, he was one of four owners that voted against Cohen taking over the Mets.
You're right. I actually agree with you. I think if push comes to shove and the Angels are actually trading Shohei Ohtani, which they may never do. They may be in a pennant race, or they may just really want to re-sign him and say, we're not trading him. I think the Mets are almost dealing with the tax that they would face if they were in the same division. Because I think Artie Moreno, who's a terrible owner, by the way, is also
A lot of money, too, though, over the years.
He has, and he also then complains about Steve Cohen and votes certain ways when the CBAs are going on. Like, and the team sucks, okay? So he's a terrible owner.
Right.
I think that our last caller is right. I don't think you would ever allow Ohtani to be traded to the Mets.
Because I don't want to trade anybody. I want to get him as a free agent. I'll live with whatever the year is and then sign him as a free agent.
I tend to agree with you, but you're not getting any younger, and I'm not getting any younger.
No, I know.
And if the Mets have a chance to win now, you lose that extra year of trying to win a championship.
Yes, I understand.
That's the one negative to it.
Yeah.
Obviously,
you got a lot more time left than I do, bro. I mean, a lot more.
I may have more time, but I've also now, I'm about to turn 40. I've seen nothing. Zero.
I know.
So the longer you go with seeing zero, the more you realize, wait a second.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm never going to see one.
Look, even that Ranger championship's 30 years now. By the way, it'd be nice if they got a coach. Don't get me started on that.
May I ask a dumb question?
Does he know what he's doing, Chris Drury?
I apologize because I'm not a hockey expert.
Right. Well, I'm no expert.
Maybe Rosie.
I'm a Ranger fan. That's it.
I understand. Maybe Rosie can help me with this. John Hines was the coach of the New Jersey Devils. They were not good, right? They were not good. He has now gone on to coach. Where was he recently coaching on, Rosie?
Nashville.
Why would the Rangers be in such a rush? Like, ooh, John Hines is available.
Talked to everybody else.
What?
Peter LaViolette, right?
Right. So Drury and Hines were college teammates.
Who gives a rat's ass?
That's
the
connection.
Coach.
That's the connection.
Like, what?
I think I think between Laviolette and Hines, I would go Laviolette. The guy's won a cup. He's been to three, 700 wins.
How could you sell to a Ranger fan base who goes through coaches like it's water?
They're worse than the Jets.
Yeah, they kind of are. How could you sell to fans, hey, you know what? You know what's going to take us to the next level? I got it. I figured it out. John Hines, who's won nothing.
Unbelievable.
Like, how is that a sell to Ranger fans?
Larry Brooks today is talking about Patrick Roy.
Right, after the QMJHL Canadian playoffs are over, to call Patrick Roy.
Right.
I honestly, I'd love Chris Knobloch, but I don't think Drury's going to hire a 40-year-old guy who's never coached in the NHL
He's coaching in Hartford, right?
Right, he's the AHL guy.
But the thing at least about him is that we don't know.
Yeah.
No, maybe he'll be the next great head coach. We don't know.
You don't know.
You're talking about a guy who's had two coaching stops, one here. That's why I'm familiar with him. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I watch or I'm paying attention to the Rangers, Islanders, and Devils. He wasn't any good in New Jersey. And that's your sell? That's your fix? Hey, you know what's going to take us to the next level, Ranger fans?
I wonder about Drury. I'm starting to really wonder about him.
Well, he's got 3 years left, which is why I think he's going to go Laviolette. He needs to win a cup. He needs a coach that goes to the cup.
Of course he
Laviolette
does.
Laviolette can get
so
him
let's
there.
Let's get the guy who's won nothing in John Hines. That makes perfect sense. You've convinced me.
I think he might be on their staff. I can see Laviolette with Hines under.
Great.
All right.
I read that story 2 days ago. I was so confused. I had a headache. I was like, maybe I'm forgetting. Maybe I'm mistaken. But I remember John Hines. That's your answer.
Drury played with Roy too, right? In Colorado, they won a cup together.
Doesn't mean they can't win, Evan, though.
What was that?
Doesn't mean he can't win.
It doesn't mean he can't
because
win.
I remember, I'm sure there was a lot of guys in, you know, Joe Atlanta.
Torrey. There
I
you go. It. Get, you nailed it. Joe Torre. Yeah.
I get it. I guess my point to you is when you're the Rangers and you just got rid of a coach who was here for 5 minutes.
5 minutes and actually had 2 good years. I understand they lost in the first round of the playoffs, but I mean, you know, they had a 100-plus win season on point season.
And your answer is to let's hire someone whose resume is very underwhelming. Of course, he could come here and turn out to be the greatest coach of all time. Like, yeah, it could happen, but that's a very difficult sell.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a tough time selling. That letter they write to their season ticket holders, that would be an interesting letter. Like, just ignore the resume.
Terrible.
Don't go to Hockey Reference. Just ignore it. We'll be fine. Let's go to TC in Summit, New Jersey. What's up, TC?
TC.
Joe and Evan, happy summer.
Happy
indeed.
Summer.
Nothing better than summer, bro.
Nothing, Joe. So, Blood in the Garden. I want to make a Jets comment, but I want to say one thing about Blood in the Garden. I read a lot of books about rock stars and sports guys and biographies. I just did the Brian Trottier biography, and it was amazing. And I judge them all on things that I didn't know and things that I learned in the book. And Blood in the Garden was loaded. It was so good.
Yeah, I got to see this book, huh? I guess I do.
Well worth your time. And Evan, I don't know if you got there yet, but my favorite part, it's not a spoiler, is I love the chapter on Mason. It was so great.
Oh, fascinating stuff about Anthony Mason. Yes, I've gotten to that.
Good or bad?
Both.
Everything.
Yeah, right. I loved Anthony Mason.
I think one thing
I loved him.
I think this was the Oakley part that I thought was fascinating.
Right.
Maybe you knew this. If you did, I apologize. That in high school, his high school basketball coach said, "You know how you can get better? Go play football." And it wasn't telling him.
Oh,
to get
I didn't off. Know that. He
it
told
was
that?
Teaching him how to be tougher.
Oh, how to be tougher? Yeah.
And he actually played football and it helped develop him as a basketball
player. He was tough.
Player.
So was Mason.
Yep.
And Mason, it was great. But with respect to the Jets. Joe, you don't do seasons anymore, do you?
No, I go to games, but not when I want to go, I go. You know what I mean?
Yep, totally. So as a season ticket holder, I can't stop looking at our first six home games and sitting there going, holy smokes, it's Bills Monday night, Pats at 1 o'clock, Chiefs Sunday night, Eagles at 4:25, mm-hmm. Chargers on Monday night, Dolphins on Black Friday. That's the first six home games.
Yeah. They got to win, bro. You know, look, I don't care how hard the schedule is. It's now or never for our football team, bro. When are they going to win if they don't win with this guy now? 2 years.
Totally. I agree. And then my last
And they better
point.
Be Buffalo opening night. To me, that's a must-win game. I don't want to hear it. You can't have all this hoopla, you know, Ascension and this stuff that SNY has. I know we're coming up to be on them with Rodgers and Chapter 3 and Aaron. He's doing it. He's dancing at the Taylor Swift concert. We have to win.
Joe, your lips to God's ears, and I really mean that sincerely. But my last thing is this. I was really happy to hear Salah talking to Breece Hall because in my model is how I think about the upcoming season, anything we get from Breece Hall is gravy. I have no expectations on him.
Well, he says he's going to be there opening day. I mean, that's the last thing I heard Salah say about it, right?
It was great, and he said he hit 22 miles an hour like in speed of running. If we get 90% of Breece Hall 1 year after the injury, wouldn't you take that?
Yes.
I was saying this the other day. Tell me if you agree. And then we got caught off on a word debate, so we never actually finished the discussion. I said if Breece Hall had stayed healthy last year,
they would have made the playoffs.
The season's completely different.
It's a different season.
Because
they were 5-2 when he got hurt.
Right.
After they beat Denver.
And think about some of the slogs that they played. That was what got us off kilter because we were debating if slog's a word. But you know what I mean. Yeah. You get it. Slog.
I know. I'm well versed in slog.
Yeah, we all know. All the slogs they were in, Breece Hall could have had one play that changed a lot of those games.
He's a home run hitter.
He's a home run hitter. So I know that's alluding to last year's Breece Hall, and who knows if last year's Breece Hall appears. But I think that injury, and obviously AVT, too, was monstrous.
Of course,
I get it.
Of course.
But the Breece Hall injury, especially when you had an inept offense and a head coach that was unwilling to pull Zach Wilson at a time, having Breece Hall, who every once in a while can break one off and change the game, the season ends differently.
Yeah. No, they would have made the playoffs if Breece didn't get hurt. I don't think there's any question about it. 100%.
And look, the schedule is the schedule. It's very, very tough.
Hey, look, if you want to be a big boy, you got to beat the big boys.
That's it.
You want to beat a big boy, you got to beat the big boys. Case closed.
If you want to come out of the AFC, two of the best teams in this conference you're going to see in the first 4 weeks of the year, Kansas City and Buffalo. Go beat them.
4-2 going to the bye. That's it.
Is that a prediction or a demand?
No, that's a demand.
Oh, okay.
4-2. I've heard some guys say 2-4. 2-4? What?
That'd be tough.
You're out of your mind. 2-4. 4-2. I'm not. You got to beat Buffalo. You got to win all the division games. You got to beat Buffalo. You got to destroy New England. If you can put 60 on them, you're putting 60 on them.
Yes.
And then whoever scores the touchdown and puts them over 60 runs to Bill in front of the sideline and spikes it at his feet.
Yes.
Okay? All right? Yes. Yeah, Bill, this is for you. Thank you again for the trading with Pittsburgh so we didn't get the tackle we wanted from Georgia. Thank you so much, Bill.
Yes.
Again, sticking it right up our rear end. You can't beat them bad enough. Look, I want 4-2. I understand Kansas City. I understand Philadelphia. You want to beat the big boys. You got to beat the Giants. No. You cannot lose to the Giants. Right?
I get you. I'm with you.
I'm delirious. And
well,
coach, I'm going to tell you, coach.
The pressure's on.
You know,
now,
you're a nice guy, coach. I like you. You're a nice guy. I'm still waiting for that golf we're supposed to play. Okay? I'm still waiting. All right? You got to win, coach. Everything's sunshine and light right now. Everything's beautiful. Oh, everybody's happy. Oh, everybody's we're all giddy. Because the Jets always do their best work in May and June. Like, those are like their best months, you know?
Yeah, we have a great record in May.
Oh, my God. Everybody's giddy. You better freaking win, okay? Division title minimum. I want a division minimum division title and a home playoff win, okay? Minimum. We've had two division titles since the merger. We've played seven home playoff games in 63 years. Okay? It's time. Now. There is no. It's now. Like the great song by Elvis Presley, it's now or never. It's now or never.
Yeah. Because if it's not now, when the hell's it going to be?
Right. Who's the quarterback after this? Who's it going to be? Zach? Who's it going to be? Tim Flynn, whoever this guy is?
Tim Boyle.
Boyle, yeah. Whatever his name is.
As much as, like, you're right, hey, if they got to an AFC championship game, it's a fine year. If they don't win a Super Bowl during the Aaron Rodgers era, I don't know how many years that's going to be.
Right.
2 years,
I'm looking at 2 years, bro.
I think you're right.
I think it's a two-year window.
I think it's two, maybe three. But if they don't win a Super Bowl in these 3 years, then what?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
I'm sure there'll be another veteran quarterback.
Well, but
go
if
after.
They don't win a Super Bowl in these 2 years, you know what? First, we're going to have a whole new coaching staff is going to be in here.
Well.
Probably.
Now, you know why I can't say that? Because if they're good and they just come up close
that's true.
You're not blowing the whole thing up
that's
necessarily.
True. That is true.
And
that is true.
If they fit the Aaron Rodgers resume over the last 5 years, which is they have a great regular season, lose championship games at home, you're not going to fire everybody.
No.
But there's a certain amount of time you have with this guy. And at most, it's 3 years.
Most three. I'm saying two. I think three's a stretch.
I doubt he's Tom Brady-ing this thing until he's 45.
No.
So I think it's a 2-3 year window. And yeah, at first, it's let's make the playoffs. Let's have a run.
By
but
the
if
way,
they don't win, when the hell's that happen?
By the way, I got to tell you, I never thought that I would have any sympathy for Tom Brady ever. But I actually feel bad for him.
Why?
Why? Because his ex-wife is like running around all over the place.
Oh, that aspect of it.
Every time I open up a paper, I open up the Post, there's another picture of Giselle in a bikini with her jiu-jitsu teacher. Right? I mean, if I'm I mean, you know how I feel about Brady, but I actually feel bad for the guy.
Can't Tom do the same thing if he wants?
He can, but I mean, I think he really was, you know, I don't think he wanted to break up with her.
You think he got dumped, basically?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And he's devastated over this?
No, I don't think there's any question. No. I think he took football over her, and she said, that's it. And I think he was pretty broken up by it.
Well,
I really do.
If that's the case, then even I'd feel bad for Tom.
I do.
I feel bad, like I said,
she's. I mean, every day I see a new picture of Giselle somewhere.
You guys are nuts. You don't feel bad for that guy. The millions of dollars.
I do feel bad for him. He'll be okay.
I think Joe laid out the one area.
That's the one area I would feel bad for.
Did he feel bad for me because he put my life through hell?
Well, I'm gonna tell you this. If I was in a situation like that, and now you know my wife dumps me, who I love. Okay, yes. I'm in love with my wife, and she dumps me. And now every time I turn around, I got to see a new picture of her half naked with her new boyfriend. That's got to bother me.
I think you hit on it. If that's what happened,
come on.
Forget the money. Forget the championships. Forget the fact that at any moment he can hook up with whomever he wants.
Of course,
it's the love of his life.
Right.
Dumped him. And is now publicly, hey, look at me.
Right.
Look what, imagine what we're doing.
Well, let's be fair. I mean, he chose football over her.
I think that's what happened.
I don't think that's what happened.
So do we know how much he actually loved her?
Don't do that.
I could be 100% wrong, but I don't think I am. And Brady's very low key. Don't see Brady anywhere with any women, right? Really? I haven't. No. Have you?
We have not. I mean, he likes lentil soup. That's all I know about Brady.
We've learned that. The girls are throwing themselves at the guy.
All I'm saying is you laid out, and I give you credit, because I can't stand
Tom
Brady.
That's the only reason.
You laid out the one scenario that would make me say, of course I
As a guy, as a man.
Yeah.
Look at him. Forget about Tom Brady, who's killed me forever and all of that with the Patriots. I look at him as a man, like you and I are men, and how I would feel if that happened to me.
Right. I know. I totally agree. Like, if my wife leaves me, and then that's bad enough, that's bad, and then I gotta see it?
Right. And she's throwing it in your face constantly.
Yeah, then I'm out. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I think Paul has a point, though, because there's no way she just up and left 1 year. She must have told him for a handful of years.
Probably.
Like, enough. And he's like, no, I'm gonna go give it a run with Todd Bowles, hon. I'll be right back.
Like, no, she probably did.
Maybe.
She probably
did. But maybe
not. He had an idea it was going to cause problems in his marriage.
Well, now, I have read through the rumors that the football had nothing to do with it.
Is that true?
That's what I've read.
So maybe
it has nothing to do with what we assume it has everything to do with. Because we make the assumption, because what the hell do we know about Tom Brady other than football and the retirement and the non-retirement and him playing till he's 45? We don't know everything else. So everything I've read is that it had nothing to do with football. Who the hell knows? Yeah,
nobody knows.
All I know is
only the shadow knows. And Tom Brady.
That's it.
And her.
And I know.
Bo knows.
Oh, Bo knows, right.
Bo knows everything, of course.
Right.
How can I not know?
Bo.
Well, I got a very interesting question for you concerning the Jets' pursuit of one guy and lack of pursuit of another guy. We'll address plus more of your calls.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.